Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I know what you're going through, Major. When I met the other Jennifer Sisko, it was very confusing, to say the least. I knew she wasn't my wife. Sometimes she would smile at me a certain way, and then the light would hit her eyes. And it was my Jennifer. At least that's what I wanted to believe.
Captain, I know this man is not Vedic Baral. He doesn't talk like him. He doesn't act like him. He's a totally different person.
But you still feel this connection with him that you can't explain, don't you?
It's not a problem.
Good. Just make sure it doesn't become one.
All right.
All right.
Who wants to party?
Your name is Dan, and you are ready to start the podcast.
Captain Bode.
Have you both eliminated all your snots and snarfles?
Yeah, I think so.
Jesse, have you crinkled your last crink?
Crinkling a little bit. And
crink?
Now I am done.
What's a all crink? Right.
You've crinkled your last crink.
You don't crinkle crinks.
Crink is a unit of
that
crinkles.
Sounds racist.
Crinkles is mafia. It does sound a little racist.
Crank.
I don't know what. Maybe it's against some alien race.
Crinks.
In Star Trek, which
Star
is by the
Trek.
By the way... Hello, everyone.
Are we starting?
I just think we sneak it right in there, Dan.
All right.
One, two,
started.
Three.
We're started.
We confirmed the conclusion of the crinkles.
Okay.
Jesse's all crinked out, as they say.
Yuck.
And you said,
going to behave.
You said you were ready.
I'm ready.
And you finished your sniffles and snorfles.
I think so.
I think so as well. Occasionally, they'll sneak in there.
Yeah, Jesse will make some kind of noise. He'll make some kind of squeaky noise through his lips.
Usually he does that when he's getting bored.
Right.
It's a good indicator for
Dan
and
I'm excited.
That we have
I'm
to
pumped.
Elevate things on this here podcast, which goes by the moniker...
Kick It.
The It's Got Star Trek Podcast. Jesus.
Come.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right. First of all, Jesse, come on. That's crazy.
Jesse, we should escalate things.
And
would you rather
escalates.
Elevate things or escalate them?
And Dan, is that why you played the cum sound?
Cum.
Okay. So, folks, just to make it clear,
cum.
Just to make it clear, you are listening to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Welcome, my this, child.
Kick it.
This is episode 283 of... The It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have such fun. I can hardly wait.
I do hope so, because we have a bit of a challenge tonight, I think.
Wait a sec. A quick question about the numbering system.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you number the Patreon things?
Patreons are different. They're not numbered
at
all. They're just titled.
I think you sent me one and it was numbered.
Well, okay. So... Just for a bit of behind the scenes, and we haven't even advertised the Patreon yet, patreon.com/itchgotstartrek. We have a really good one that will be up by the time you're listening to this.
I never doubted it.
So you should check it out. I parse those out when I'm editing, Dan. I parse those out using the same file name, and then I append a description and a Patreon in parentheses to indicate that this is something that I'm considering for use on the Patreon. And... Before I
That's
finalize
one hell
it,
of a story.
Before I upload it to Patreon, I change the file name to something that matches the title that we've selected for it. However, prior to that, when I'm sending it to you for post-approval, right, when we want to make sure everything's kosher, I might use an old file name. Does that?
I can believe that.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, here's...
I guess.
Here's what's up tonight. So this is episode 283 of
what's
the podcast.
Up tonight?
We will be discussing Star Trek Deep Space Nine's Resurrection.
Season what six. Are you doing here?
And it presents a challenge to us. Yes, it's season six, episode eight. If I recall correctly. It presents a bit of a challenge to us because this is one of the most fucking boring episodes
oh my God.
Of Star Trek.
I wrote the same fucking thing in my notes. It's super boring.
It's interminably boring.
I've got a list.
Yeah, there's a bunch of silliness.
I've got a list of just kind of like the episode structure is.
Episode.
I said it's rote.
See, you saying episode was exciting.
That was more exciting
relative know, to what right? goes like, on ooh, in this plot. So that? we'll get to
how very exciting.
I was just gonna say my I'm not gonna go through it. I'm just gonna say I have a list that about how I wrote how the episode is rote, but like I guess it's just kind of like cliche.
Rote, you mean ROTE?
Yeah, yes. Just kind of cliched. Things that like
not the past tense of heavy of
no.
Rote.
And, the yeah because it is rote right yeah. All of them have been rote.
I would say in general like anything dealing with the mirror universe is pretty cool
yes
in my book but you know yeah. this one was not
this had
so much
this had some cliched plot structure things and it had some cliched just events yeah. that happened
right. Well know? We'll get to your list soon. So that's the challenge we have tonight is we have to find a way to entertain you all with a discussion of this very silly episode.
Well we will.
Well I think Dan and Jesse have both demonstrated ways we're going to do that. The cum sound effect threw me off. I wasn't expecting that.
Cum.
See, that's an example, audience, particularly you new folks out there, of the value add we provide to the Star Trek podcasting universe. Dan has this special skill at identifying unique sounds, unique clips from the episode, and pulling them out and then presenting them to the audience in an interesting context.
A little harder, please.
All right. So
not all of them are sequiturs.
No, not all of them are sequiturs or non-sequiturs. Some of them follow, some of them do not follow.
Pro sequitur. Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll find out. Okay. So
that would be nice, wouldn't it?
So Dan,
just a little harder, please.
Just to check.
Oh, such strong hands. If only we had some warm Sumato oil.
Jesus.
Completely ridiculous.
So out of context, that sounds like, hey, that's got to be a very interesting
episode.
Sounds
like sesame oil.
Yeah.
That's got to be an interesting episode that that everyone watched. But sadly,
I'm afraid not.
Sadly, no. Okay. So
it's
Dan,
not like the worst ever, but it's just kind of bland.
No. It's
just some
it's
stuff
boring.
Happens, and I don't care after it's over. I'm like, okay.
I mean, it's still Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. So, okay. So,
Cisco
I think
cool.
Dan, I just want to get. We're trying to do this weekly thing at the top of the show now, where we just go over what Dan's bringing to the show this week. You got a list?
Right.
You mentioned at
is
least
there,
one list. Are
there
any other lists?
Duties?
There's no duties or no duties.
All right, duty or no duty? No. There's no duty or no duty. So that's a regular Dan game: is duty or no duty? No, duty or no duty.
There's
none of that this week.
There's a semi perverted. Possible potential that's an order, but not really.
Okay.
Oh.
So that's another thing. Yes. Dan has a bugaboo.
Just accept it and move
there
on.
Is.
About people using the term that's an order.
Well, it's about like the oil, right?
So there's
the
one massage. To one to be presented there. And then you said you have what, one list or more than one list?
One list.
Okay, just one list this week. Oh. All right. Yes.
I'll bus.
I don't have any second break fun em ups this week. I tried to find something. I thought maybe I could do something about the most boring people in Star Trek. I actually searched for that, did not find many hits on the most boring characters in Star Trek. So I thought, why do we not take this opportunity to.
Why?
to request from our audience.
Like the first. The first engineer guy on Next Generation?
He was pretty
boring.
Pretty boring. Why don't you write into us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or on social media at itsgotstartrek, whichever social media you prefer. Write into us and let us know which is the most boring of Star Trek characters. If it's on social media, they should use a hashtag. What hashtag should they use?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Hashtag
boring Star Trek?
Chief
I don't
O'Brien.
Know. You guys come up with the hashtag and we'll figure that out. So feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Most boring character, send it in. And if we don't forget about it, we'll talk about it next week. All right.
Well, what do you think?
I think it's boring.
Yeah. What's there really to talk about?
There's plenty to talk about, including like what's
Captain Baudet.
What's sort of wrong with this episode? Because it does have pieces in it.
Captain Baudet has a transparent skull.
Yeah. Transparent.
You are so transparent.
So.
And you don't like to see a man's brains.
they've brought up Captain Baudet on a few occasions.
That's funny.
And on, I think it was finally
he has
on
a very opaque cranium.
On Lower Decks, we see aliens that I believe we're meant to understand are the same species as Captain Baudet. I forget they've mentioned the species. I forget they're called like the see-through-y headians or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
You are so transparent.
Transparocephalons.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, we keep joking.
Jesse's already bored.
You know, no.
Jesse's already bored. Yeah, you're right.
That was a celebration.
Okay. So, sure.
We want to provide some background on Kira and Baryl and just what her deal is and where she's going on the show.
Sounds good.
But in my notes, I have, you know, and I've seen this episode plenty of times before, but it's been a long time since I've seen Resurrection.
Oh, and, what are you talking about?
And right at the beginning, there's this charming little conversation, and then they're on the they're in ops, and then it's all like, oh, there's this transporter, yeah, where it's coming from. A guy is crouched down facing the other way, which is very convenient for
a
fun reveal. And yes, it turns out to be Mirror, the mirror alternate version of Vedic, well, in this case, just Baryl Antos.
Regular old Baryl.
Regular old
Baryl. I call him M Baryl for Mirror Baryl.
M. Not E-M, just M.
No, not like M dash.
Yeah. So you've got Mirror Baryl.
Not my Bajor.
He's like a cooler Baryl.
Well, here's the thing. We get into it, and we'll get into the details in a second, but in my notes...
Very confusing.
In my notes, I have, it's a less boring version of Vedic Baryl.
Yeah.
And then, but then 2 notes later, I say, I take it back. This Baryl's pretty boring, too. He's more charming than Vedic Baryl.
He's more charming, yeah.
That I'll give him.
He's just like a less intense Bajoran, because they're all just so fucking intense all the time.
This must be very strange for you.
we are going to get into the morality of this situation as well, but that'll be later. That's a third break thing. Keep people listening.
I talked into my Apple TV, like, I'm not like...
Humble brag.
No, I'm not like an Apple guy, but I
this guy's TV. Got an Apple TV.
Well, I mean, it's... I mean,
doesn't that cost like $1,000 a month?
No,
it's okay. First of all, you're talking about the service. I'm talking about the device, but you're also still making a joke that in order the privilege to rent to buy Apple devices, you have to belong to a subscription service. I get it. It's a funny joke. That's a funny joke. That's a good.
You're not acting like it's funny.
That's a good joke.
I see what you're saying.
Do you know what this? The closed captioning called this laugh.
What did they call that laugh?
This laugh
of sensual laugh.
This laugh of closed captioning for this laugh.
A TikTok. A guffaw.
Wait. They call it a mirthless laugh.
Mirthless. That's,
is this
that's
mirthless?
Tight, I didn't catch that.
Which scene is it from? Without seeing it and without seeing the expression on Baryl's face, that's Baryl, right? Is
yes.
That, and a mirthless laugh presumably means, is that, is he responding to the priest or to the, is it to Kira's invitation into the temple?
It is, and I can figure it out in just a second.
Jesse, how long do you think it'll take him to figure this out?
Like I said, I'm not Vedic
Baryl.
5 seconds. A mere technicality. You're the closest thing to Vedic Baryl they're ever going to see, which is why they're going to love you. I wouldn't know what to say. The less the
this
I think
Quark.
It's between Baryl and Quark.
Yes, Quark was attempting to offer Baryl Mark II an opportunity to pretend to be him,
funny.
His other self, and get money from tourists.
Yeah.
Or, you know, religious
Vedic impersonation
pilgrims.
Pitch.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly which line it came after, but it was the whole time. Do you think that whole thing with Quark was, do you think he actually had a business proposition? Do you think he actually had a business proposition, or do you think that he was trying to dig up dirt to give to Kira?
Yeah.
No, he had a business proposition. Why do you think he had dirt to give dig up?
Because he was trying to, because he warned Kira. He's being all cool with Kira this episode.
He was just trying to get like the, I mean.
So Jesse.
He had a business proposition, but he was also trying to like, you know, sniff him out.
I can see that.
And see what was going on.
Because look, like he was being, he gave Kira the heads up. Right.
Yeah.
And so.
Right.
And
I guess so.
And so by this time, this is sixth season. So they probably have like sort of come. Like Kira appreciates Quark's help, and Quark helped
right.
her.
So Quark's part of the town.
So it seems like they've gotten closer since the very beginning.
Yeah. And I could see that. I took it as face value, but now looking back on it now, I could see that. I'll have to go watch this boring episode yet again.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Because it seemed all off the cuff. Like, he was all just like, hey, you know what we should do? We should do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think you'd be able to pull that off? Because everyone knows he's
I think it's one of those deals where, like, how people will go see Elvis impersonators.
Yeah,
and still make
a
lot of money.
I mean, I
some
know
of them Bajorans is pretty, like, wacky. So
that's true.
So
I can believe that.
Yeah, they'll visit him sucking on them some Jum-Jum sticks.
Jum-Jum
is that what
sticks.
It is? Jum-Jum
Magaboo
sticks.
Bread.
Yeah, he's a Magaboo bread, no crust.
Albus, they grow all over Bajor.
Oh, wait, do you mean?
Can you play that again? The cadence is very odd.
Albus, they grow all over Bajor.
Isn't that a weird cadence? Plus,
that reminds me, like
ASMR.
Like that mirror dude was all into like the food, and when he appeared like in ops and like took Kira hostage, he like grabbed that pastry that she got from the replicator, and like he just grabbed it. Like it's like what
the mirror universe sucks.
Yeah, it's like what the fuck, and he ate it. And he's like the food here is better.
Yeah,
it's like what you just took your fucking donut.
Yeah,
like, what the fuck?
He ate it and then he started going.
All right.
So you're a rascal, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, but what you were talking about was...
Two Roctaginos extra strong and a cava roll.
A cava
roll. Roctagino, okay. Extra sweet. Macabre bread, no crust. Macabre bread, no crust.
Albus.
Roctagino, extra sweet. Macabre bread, no crust.
Albus. Two Roctaginos extra strong and a cava roll.
What was that Klingon cake they had that was like you had to cut with like a Klingon sword?
Oh, you didn't have to.
It was a
funny party trick that the thieving Barile had.
I mean, so him stealing that mechleth from Worf was less impressive than stealing from the guard. Because, like, Worf, it's not like Worf carries the mechleth around with him all the time. He probably just went rooting through his room.
Worf was in his fucking pajamas.
He probably went through his bedroom and, like, looked under his bed and found his mechleth.
Just took it off the wall.
Hanging off the
wall.
So it's not that sneaky that what he did.
I have to, before we get past this, because I've been trying to say this for the last couple of minutes.
I just wanted to mention the bloodline.
I understand. But we'll be too distant from the point I'm trying to make, which is...
There was no truth to any of it.
No, because Dan just spent a good proportion of the podcast just now playing some clips of people doing all that business and making some of our business. And the thing is, it was very funny. I was amused by it. However,
how did you know that?
I just want to point out, and regular listeners will recall, that it is Dan who usually gets angry when we make any sort of food mouth noises.
He gets angry.
And Dan is protective, justifiably, I'd say, protective of our audience members who have misophonia.
I don't think, dude,
you're a champion.
Normally, you're a champion for the misophonia.
I think you're perverting.
It's like, why are you eating an apple while we're trying to record?
You're perverting what I said. I said that I'm just not into ASMR in general. Yeah. I never said anything specifically about mouth noises, did I?
I don't think any of us have admitted to being into it.
I know.
No.
ASMR just kind of drives me crazy because it just, look, I know disrespect to people who like it, but it just feels so asinine to me.
maybe you don't have enough of an empathetic response in order to feel the tingly effect of ASMR.
Your guilt is quite clear, Doctor.
Why should I?
Okay. But
I just wanted to mention that because I thought it was funny.
Aww.
But I like the mouth noises. I do understand that some people, it legitimately freaks people out, and I get it because it's creepy and weird. It's just I kind of dig that. It's the same thing. Like, I'm not scared of heights, but I'm scared of heights in the sexy fun way. You know,
but who else
you
eats like
are crazy?
Ops? Does anybody else eat at ops? It's just Kira was like, give me some breakfast, because
I think we see coffee a lot.
Because like Worf wouldn't do that shit.
Worf would probably not eat it. I don't. We don't see Worf eating too much.
O'Brien, he eats already at home.
Yeah, he gets
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien.
Same.
Okay, so beginning of the episode, they're chatting, then they come. There's the Dax and Kira.
Wait, what about? I was gonna say a thing about the blood wine.
Okay, you can say the thing about the blood wine now.
So when Worf was like,
why not?
He goes like, you're a better thief than, what was his line? He was like,
that I gave you credit for, something along those lines.
Yeah, it was, he says, obviously Barile is a better thief than I gave him credit for. And then he goes, more blood wine. Yeah. So he sounds pissed off.
No, he's impressed.
No, what I'm saying is, What I'm saying is...
What are you saying there?
What are you saying?
Let me say it. I'll say it.
Yeah.
It sound, his first sentence, he sounds pissed off. He's because he sounds all indignant, like, oh, well, I guess he's a better... But then he's all like, ha-ha, more blood wine, ha-ha.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It was a fun exchange.
Yeah, but I thought the first sentence was weird. It didn't... For the sentence, second sentence about more blood wine did not follow the first sentence where he sounded all like, harumph, harumph. The first sentence was all like harump harump, yeah. And the second sentence was ho ho ho, yeah. And it didn't follow.
I enjoyed that. To me that was part of the fun and the excitement.
I think, actually,
a brief moment of excitement in this entire fucking episode.
Yeah. No, I think it would have been better if he was like, well, obviously Baral is a better thief than I gave him credit for, or obviously Baral is a better thief than I gave him credit for, something right. like that.
Why don't you put together a little TikTok? Start a new It's Got Star Trek TikTok account, because that's
don't embarrass yourself.
One of the social media things we're not on yet. Maybe we should be on there. You could start do a TikTok where you tag Michael Dorn in the video and offer him those alternate line readings.
And then he comes to your house and fights.
Because I'll tell you, I've read a lot about acting, the process of acting, what actors like, what they don't like. And from what I understand, actors love nothing more than being given a direct line reading.
Mm. Let's just forget it's that like you brought
have,
that one
you
up.
You have to say it exactly like this.
All right, let's rewind a little bit back to the beginning bits. Because we're getting to the point where they're on ops, and we're in ops. In ops,
everything's the same but
there's
different.
There's the Bajoran pastry.
Yes,
is it a Klingon pastry.
Cardassian. All this stuff happens with Baral, and I was like, "Oh my god, it's Baral!" So, for background, Kira met Vedic Baral early on in Deep Space Nine, right? And he was super boring. He was handsome.
He's a lame dude.
He's nice, but he was always kind of a boring character. But they had this romance, and the romance concluded when Vedic Baral, there was an episode, Life Support, I believe it was called, where there's an accident and he's been negotiating some peace treaty, but because of the accident, his body and brain's getting all fucked up, and he keeps doing all these surgeries. And
you don't like to see a man's brains.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's a good point. It's an insensitive thing for Dax to say, given the fact that Vedic Baral died when his brain kept being replaced with the positronic little bits.
Thank you.
Yeah. And anyway, very tragic, very sad, very upsetting end to his life. But at least we didn't have to see the relationship anymore, which wasn't the most exciting thing.
No.
Because later, then Kira got together with Shakar. And Shakar was a very charming character, and he was the leader of her resistance cell when she was like a teenager. That's a little weird. But they got together later on when he was leading Bajor and all that stuff. So that was her other major relationship. They ended up breaking up, but staying friends. And then there's all the Odo business, right?
Odo.
So the
yeah, that's one thing we never see in this episode. We don't see any. I know it's not the point, but like it's kind of interesting. Like Odo, we don't hear about Odo this episode.
No, but it's referenced in this episode because
because at the beginning she's like, me and Odo aren't ready for that. Talk
exactly.
about dinner with.
This is what I'm providing here, Dan. Is I'm providing this exact context, which is this is before His Way, which we discussed in It's Got Star Trek number 257, I believe. Mm. So it's before His Way, which is when they first actually get together, she and Odo. But this is after Children of Time, which is in the late fifth season. That's the episode where she finds out from an old Odo, right? There's
old
like
Odo.
This whole thing where
old
the,
Odo.
They go back in time by accident and then they live for 200 years and so there's this whole civilization of their descendants and Odo's still alive.
That's
And Odo totally tells Kira
we should talk about that.
He's like, "I love you." And
there's like all the descendants of Worf.
Yeah, all that shit. It's a pretty interesting
confusing.
Episode. But anyway, so she learned from old Odo that Odo's into her, and
Odo.
it made everything like awkward between her and Odo because he never said he was into her. You know, he doesn't get around to that fully until a little later. But anyway,
Odo. It's
some confusing sort of semi soap opera type drama, but I think it is helpful context for this episode to
right.
understand
and,
why she's in the position to be like swept away by this Baral.
I thought it was kind of like I don't know, weird is not the right word, but like kind of jarring that she does bring up the fact that her and Odo have some kind of thing going on,
yeah.
But we don't ever get to see, I would have liked, I know they just didn't have time to do it. Cause
well,
they,
it's because they're not dating yet.
I know they didn't have time to do it because
Captain Baudet.
I know they didn't have time to do it because it's they only have what they're trying to tell in the episode. But like while all this is happening between Kira and Mira Baril, like Odo, you know Odo in the background is being all jealous about
Odo.
It. Like, you know, he's like, jealous because everyone on the ship knows what's going on. Everyone on the station basically knows what's going on.
I think at this point it's pretty obvious.
They could hear that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So there's a whole plot that doesn't get introduced, which is the plot of Odo being jealous in this episode.
Because yeah, but I don't know.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be jealous. They don't touch on it.
They don't touch on it. Which is not, I'm not to say that they should.
But you don't really, see a whole lot of Odo. You see, just see a little bit.
It's a good point. Because it is hard because, on the one hand, I guess you don't want to harp on the whole Odo being jealous thing too much.
But it's something that exists.
Yeah, I know. But they already previously examined that with Shakar, I believe, was one of the main ones. He was always jealous of that. So I get why they wouldn't want to do it. But you're absolutely right that in the context of this episode, it feels a little absent. Because why wouldn't he be jealous of not only Baril, but a more charming version of Baril.
Equally boring,
but more charming.
And like I said, the episode focus
Nihilistic.
Of the focus of the episode doesn't really allow time to sort of approach that subject, but that doesn't change the fact that I think about it when I'm watching that episode.
Think about it.
So it's just kind of like, I'm just, the whole time I was watching this episode, I'm like, what does Odo think of all this?
What would Odo do? Should we make some bumper stickers?
What would Odo do?
What would Odo do?
Don't be ridiculous.
What would Odo do?
What would Odo do?
WWOD, and then underneath it, in smaller letters, so big letters, WWOD, that's the bumper sticker, but in smaller letters, IGST.
Let's just forget that you brought that one up.
WWOD, IGST.
I don't think we should be talking about this.
Dan, I gotta tell you, I think you are allergic to money.
You are crazy.
Okay, so
he's got more money than all of us.
I think
let's try to stay focused.
I think.
All right.
All right. So we talked about his way in episode 220.
Dax used to go out with Captain Baudet.
Okay, let me.
Yeah,
wait, what are the three? I have a game show.
Oh, you didn't tell us you had a game show?
I forgot. It's not really a game show. It's just one question.
Sneak attack.
Is it a 4-minute question? Or
yeah.
Three minute,
I mean,
three
maybe you can
question?
Say, well, maybe we can come back to after break and I'll ask the question.
Okay, that'll work because then we can get a couple things out of the way here. First, I do want to clarify.
Now, let me get this straight, Major.
Cisco is great.
Yeah.
All right. No, first I want to clarify that we discussed his way in episode 220 of IGST. I mistakenly earlier said it was 257. In episode 257, we discussed a different DS9 Mirror episode.
Ooh,
crossover.
Yeah.
Which was very confusing to say the least.
Which was the, I believe, the first Mirror Universe story, which was very fun.
That's the only other one. We've
True. Done.
Yeah, I don't think we've covered any of the other DS9 ones. We'll get there eventually.
Hell yeah.
Please.
Crossover may be the best one of the bunch, but there's some, they're all.
It was better than this one.
All the other ones are fun in their way. This one, yeah, because it was all in this universe partly, right? I think that's a big difference. When the Mirror Universe stuff is in the main universe.
It's more fun.
It's less fun, I think, when it's in the main universe. It's more fun when they go to the Mirror Universe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah. When you go to,
It's a shame.
When you go to the Mirror
Universe and be all like, having to pretend to be all goofy and creepy and weird.
Yeah.
Cisco got to do that.
Everything's the same, but different?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Everything's the same.
It's an amazing resemblance.
Everybody's
but
got
different.
Nice.
Yes. Okay. So that's, I clarified that. I think that gives us enough time. We can go to break and then come back with Dan's game show. So we will be right back.
What's this, a union meeting? Let's get going.
Then you should go.
And we're back.
I was wondering when
you'd get back.
Are you ready to proceed?
Yes.
We are ready to proceed.
I had a quiz, a quick quiz, one question quiz, pop quiz.
A quick quiz.
It's a pop quiz.
Pop quiz.
Are you ready for the
Jesse's just trying to aggravate you and antagonize you this evening.
I know. I think my new tactic is to just not react or something. Because I think you guys do it to aggravate me on purpose.
I don't do it to do it on purpose. I think Jesse might because he's over there cackling. I know. He's actively cackling. Look, he's throwing his head back. And just a display of sincere joy at being antagonistic. All right, Dan, you're
that's quiz. Not funny.
Your quiz, Dan the Quizmaster.
What are the three reasons not to go out with Captain Baudet?
Ah,
there are three reasons.
Three reasons.
He's got a transparent head.
From Kira's perspective, or just in general?
There's only three reasons given in the episode.
Okay, I'm going to presume they're from Kira's perspective. Or Dax is projecting
onto... Dax used to date him?
Yeah, that's one.
Okay.
And he's got a transparent head.
That's number two. Head. What's the third? Jesse's got two out of three. What's the third? There's a third.
The eyeball.
No, that's the other fellow.
Oh, no, that's the other fellow. Yeah, the other fellow has the middle eye.
Captain
his eye bothers me.
Trioculus, triglyceride.
His eye bothers me.
Yeah, I don't know, Kira. This is not a good look, being anti-eyeball.
I know. She's got all sorts. She body shames.
She does body shame a bit.
So what's the third reason you guys give up?
For Captain Baudet, transparent skull. Does he pick his nose or pick his friend's noses?
Doesn't that sound like a dog?
I mean, are you kicking your dogs? Like, what's going on here?
I think it's this one.
Let's try to stay focused.
That's very strange.
That's weird. That's
how do
weird
you find this stuff?
I just kind of listen.
What's wrong with you?
There's another weird one. By the way, this is a little side quest we're going on. This one.
I just want to say thank you for putting in a good word for me.
He stumbles over the four. Listen to it.
Thank you for putting in a...
It's almost like an alcoholic study.
Thank you for putting in a...
See?
Yeah. I just want to say thank you for putting in a good word for
that
me.
That sounds similar to... Remember we have that clip of Scotty from Star Trek 3 where he sounds like he's totally fucking hammered?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This isn't as bad as that, but it's a little bit there.
A little bit?
Who played Baral?
Scotty, when he's like, give me a liter of whiskey.
Oh, I forget the gentleman's name. Baryl Endos.
Baryl. This episode was directed by LeVar Burton.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Wasn't the episode last week, wasn't In the Flesh also directed by LeVar Burton?
I think so.
I don't know.
Every now and then.
That sounds correct.
It's by...
Well, your algorithm will... So just a reminder for folks and for folks who don't know, generally speaking, we will select next week's podcast topic using an algorithm that Dan has produced, and the algorithm ingests a previous episode of It's Got Star Trek, and based on the context within that episode, of the transcript of that episode, it produces a list of episodes that it suggests we watch, an ordered list, and that's...
It was very confusing, to say the least.
That's how we select the next episode.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes.
Well, the one who plays Baryl is Philip Anglim.
Philip Anglim.
Who is known for Haunted Summer, The Thornbirds, and The Elephant Man, which is nothing I've heard of.
I only know him from Deep Space Nine. I've heard of The Thornbirds, but I haven't seen it. I've heard of The Elephant Man, and depending, that could be a number of different
things.
It was a couple movies.
Okay, so here's the third one. The reason not to go out with Captain Baudet is Worf hates him. I knew you guys were going to do that. Right. I knew it. I knew you guys were going to be like,
Because Worf is a jealous
and
piece
Worf
of shit.
Is like,
just full of surprises, aren't you?
Yeah.
It is a side note to remind ourselves
again.
That... Worf is a beloved character. I love Worf. Michael Dorn portrays him well.
Who doesn't?
But Worf is kind of an insecure piece of shit much of the time. Many of his problems are self-caused because
there was no truth to any of it.
Remember that Deep Space Nine episode where Worf becomes all fascist on Ryza and decides to like ruin everyone's time because he's basically because he's a jealous asshole.
There was no truth to any of it.
It's very unattractive.
Your guilt is quite clear, Doctor.
And
it was kind of
insecure men who are also strong men are dangerous men.
And it was kind of out of character when he said this to Dax. He goes,
I never doubted it.
Because remember, like, Kira, because they asked Kira how her night went, and then she was like, it went well, which means they did it. They did it. They did it.
Now, that was
did
all
it,
a bunch of silliness.
By did they it, did, Dan, they had, they you are using a colloquialism, yes, for sex, for fornication.
The man put
coupling. You're almost there. You're so very close. Dan, we went over this earlier today.
Baryl put his
Jesse and I explained the whole process to Dan.
The man put his wiggle waggle in Kira's giblets.
Giblets.
In her giblets.
Okay, you made such a beautiful act sound so vile and disgusting.
Isn't that how you do it?
And childish at the same time, which is impressive.
And then so Jax is
Wiggy wings.
And Dax is like, I told you. And he's like,
I never doubted it.
He's never delivered a line like that all soft and like lovingly. He was almost said it lovingly. He was like, I never doubted it, my dear. You know?
Dax is a good influence on him.
Yeah. She's cool, man.
Dax is?
She's cool. Totally cool, man. So, Beryl.
I was going to mention. Feel free. I mean, if you have some place to go, feel free to go there. It sounds like you don't. I was going to riff off of what you were just saying to mention how Bashir is so into the gossip, but he's all like pretending not to be. Yeah. And what's great is what makes this scene work for me.
Don't be ridiculous.
Is that we know, everyone knows that Bashir totally wants to find out whether or not Kira banged Mirror Beryl.
What are you talking about?
But he is doing a pretty good job of being all like, "Hey, I'm just checking things out on ops. I know
sneaky
I don't normally come up here.
Sneaky and cheeky.
I just want to see
about
what's up."
What?
But it
we
made me think.
We don't want to invade your privacy.
It is true that Bashir is often down in the med bay, and so he doesn't necessarily get to see all the gossip. They have to come up with a good reason to have him up there.
Yeah, it's true. He doesn't. He misses out on it.
It's a big space.
He's a gossip. Yeah.
We don't want to invade your privacy. We don't want to invade your privacy. We don't want to invade your privacy.
No, don't worry. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
Don't
want to invade your privacy.
Don't worry.
Did I go one time too long that time, Patrick?
No, that
might have been, I don't know. That might have been one measure too short.
Oh shit!
You should have.
Don't worry.
Is there another layer to add in?
Don't worry. No, don't worry.
We don't want to invade your privacy.
No, don't worry.
It's fucking up.
No, don't worry.
Oh, it's fucking up.
What are you doing?
No, don't worry.
We don't want to invade your privacy.
No, don't worry.
We don't want to invade your privacy.
No, don't worry.
We don't want to invade your
privacy. No, don't worry.
We don't want to invade your privacy.
Don't worry.
Can you do it as a rondo?
A rondo?
No, do you know how to do a rondo?
Do you mean a round?
No. A rondo is a type of round, but it's a specific type.
Yeah,
of
I know.
Round.
I just don't.
It's not even really a round. It's its own thing. It's its own thing. Because it's that multi-layer three.
It's where you keep going back to like one part.
Oh, right.
With other different
parts. I don't know. That sounds really
complicated. It's like A, B, A, C,
A. Like the Turkish rondo.
It sounds complicated.
All right.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. A, B, A, C, A, B, C.
They grow all over Bajor.
C, B, C, B, A, A, B, C.
Now you know the story of my life.
Do you think it's time you call me Nerys? Do you think it's time you call me Nerys?
Nerys is being all, Kira's being all squiggly wiggly in this episode too.
Like, yeah.
When she goes like,
this sounds good.
She's being all doobly wooply and squiggly wiggly and bopply snoppy.
Like, can we eat some early breakfast?
That guy
was eating like a fool.
Yeah.
Alvis.
He was eating Alvis in bed. but yeah, Bashir, nosy Bashir. He's gossip. What else were we talking about?
We concluded that portion
okay,
of the
so
conversation.
Beryl,
it was a brief thing, only worth mentioning.
So Beryl is like way into this religious shit, obviously because he's trying to get at this orb, right?
Well,
so
eventually. Yeah.
So the prophets. I just want to take a little side quest on the prophets. They're not
side quest.
They're not really gods. They're just fourth dimensional wormhole aliens, basically, right?
Some people would argue
it's a matter
of perspective.
Okay,
one man's wormhole alien is another person's.
What do you guys
god.
Think?
I think there's aliens.
Right. What do you guys think, Jesse?
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon.
So, what does that make the Orb of Prophecy and Change? It's a bit of that wormhole all wrapped up into a nice spherical package.
I don't think it's a bit of the wormhole per se. It's whatever the prophets.
I'm not sure what's going on with that orb.
Whatever their business, because they're not
like
they're non-linear,
but
so they can do all sorts.
Yeah, but
of
I mean,
shit.
Obviously, the orb is like it's not just some kind of mystical. Oh, I look into it and pretend I see something. Like you see something.
There's something that. Yeah.
So it's a piece of the wormhole that they put inside of like
probably
they put in this sphere. Which then they kept in the box. That
yeah,
box,
it was all
right?
like the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah,
it's
what's in the box. What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the fucking box? Sorry for the box. What was in the box? What's in the fucking box? Yeah, I had that.
What's in the box?
I had that exact same thought when watching.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
It's a bit of the wormhole is wrapped up in that box.
It is indeed.
Yeah, and it didn't look like an orb. It was like a vortex.
That was what really was in the box. Yeah, wow. It was a vortex.
Wow, an orb vortex.
Orb-tex is what you wear when you got to wear orb-tex when you're traveling through the wormhole.
That's right.
Like, if you don't have a ship and you want to travel through the wormhole, you got to wear orb-tex. You
got to
wear orb-tex suit. No, you wear orb-tex helmet. And you wear an orb-tex helmet, but you wear you wear a vortex suit and an orb-tex helmet, or like a wormhole.
Intense over here.
A worm-tex suit and an orb-tex helmet.
Worm-tex soup.
All right.
I want some worm-tex soup. You got any worm-tex soup on you? I'm hungry.
Give me some worm-tex soup with some Fritos on
top. With some orb texicle. I want an orb texicle. I want an orb texicle.
We're losing him.
I want an orb.
We lost him a long ago.
I think
we lost him halfway through last week.
I want an orb texicle for dessert. An orb texicle. Don't sit on my orb texicles. Don't sit on my orb texicles. That hurts. It hurts when you sit on someone's orb texicles.
It sure does.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Jesse. Jesse, are you going
to
do it?
I try not to.
Are you going
to
sit on my orb texicles?
I tried to sit on my own.
What's in the fucking box?
for folks who are unaware of
holograms
of the geography of our podcast studio.
Oh, what's in the box?
So I sit over sort of off to the side where we have the main soundboard with all the
Julian
and the laptop.
He's got the controls.
And all that and the beeps and boops and stuff. And Jesse and Dan,
we're at a table.
They sit across from each other at a table where all the microphones and other clocks and other equipment and
it's just a crazy idea.
Dan's board of sounds.
Dan's business there.
Chief O'Brien.
Jesse has
a
whole.
I'm not joking.
Jesse has a box full of crinkly things.
We're dangerous.
These
kind of like a prop box, like a carrot top style prop box.
And like crinkly
sabotage.
So just now, Dan was
sabotage.
Was basically threatening Jesse. While giving that little speech, there's a lot of hand waving and shaking.
Yeah,
reaching
that's
over the table,
threatening,
grabbing people.
Okay.
You are crazy.
Indeed. All right. So yes, what's in the box? With regard to the orbs,
and he's all acting like he doesn't know. He's like, "Duh, what's in the box?" Well, but like he knows what's in the box.
I mean, you know that when you watch the episode, of course.
We don't know that until Kira, intended shows up.
As the episode goes on, yes, of course.
By the way. You can really hear her rubber suit. Like, listen for it in this when she's not talking.
What are you doing here?
I know.
I mean, it's not. You don't get. There's not a lot playing. But let me play
this
one more time.
This is probably pleather, right? And is pleather
or pleather? Whatever.
No, I'm just curious because I'm not familiar enough with the material.
Yeah.
Because there's pleather. There's leather. There's some rubber business. This is probably the pleather
latex.
Action. Sort of like the cat suit in Batman Returns. Right. This is a similar vibe, right?
Yeah, wait.
What are you doing here?
I know.
Yeah, you can hear it all scrunching
that's
around.
Funny.
But they managed to make the intended boring, too.
Yeah, somehow.
I know.
Right? He's one of the most fun characters.
It was really silly.
Clearly, it's a fun character to play.
She was just like a goofy, like, comic book character.
Just accept it and move on.
Just a crazy idea.
Just a crazy Kira. Just a crazy Mira Kira intended.
Mira Kira.
It's just a crazy idea.
I'm not joking, Lee.
Mira Kira.
Now, for those who would like to close the loop on an earlier conversation.
Those who close.
What are you talking about?
I can confirm that the Rondo comes in a few patterns, but the sort of
why are we still talking about Rondos?
I just want to conclude that conversation.
Just to mess your shit.
It is the most common ones are A B A C A, A B A C A B, A B A C B A, or
sometimes you get a D in there.
A B A C A B A.
That's one hell of a story.
Yeah, there's often like a symmetrical kind of wave.
Precisely, there's a kind of symmetry or semi-symmetry that's required, and then you play those.
It's a very classical form from indeed. The classical era.
Indeed. Mozart. From the classical period, according to this Wikipedia
Mozart
page.
Mozart and Haydn and those fellows.
The Rondo form emerged in the Baroque period and became increasingly popular during the classical period. Right. Yeah. I enjoy Rondos, traditionally. So I encourage folks out there.
Rococo.
Bit. Yeah. If you don't know much about the old Rondo action, type in Rondo. You might have to type in Rondo music or Rondo classical and enjoy yourself some Rondos. And by the way, there are some modern songs that might surprise you.
Mondo Rondo.
That use the Rondo form. All right, Dan, back at you. Back.
That's one hell of a story.
You know.
I hope you two are very happy together.
You and Jesse talking about your Rondos.
your Rondos.
I am not going to discuss this.
But we do know we need to discuss, and now is as good a time as any.
When I dropped my backpack on the floor.
What are you doing dropping the backpack on that floor?
Oh, man.
Again, the with the orbs. Again, are you serious? Getting distracted.
I just want to be left alone.
So I forget exactly all the powers of the different orbs, but there's the orb of time, you know, which was used in past tense.
There's the orb of fire, the orb of earth, the orb of water, the orb of wind, and the orb of heart. The orb of heart seems like the weakest one, but it's actually the most powerful
you're
one.
You're thinking of that old cartoon, Captain Bajor.
Not my Bajor.
You're thinking of that old show.
In Mirror Bajor, they don't have Alvis. They must have like strip mined their planet, so there's no more Alvis.
Do you think Alvis is related to Halvis, which is I believe it's a tasty Israeli sesame treat?
Some kind of sesame.
It's not true.
Middle Eastern sesame. Yeah. Sesame
there was no truth to any of it.
Right.
Well, I'm afraid not.
I think there is. How long?
It's all gooey. Okay.
We talked about the Rondo. We talked about the prophets. The orbs.
Like Ferengi prophets?
Yes, like Ferengi prophets.
Jesse's doing it again.
Now is as good a time as any to talk about whatever the scheme
is. Oh, wait. Back to when Burrell stole the Mechleth. Where was he hiding it so nobody saw it during that meal? Like, how
sleight of hand.
Like, I mean, but that's a big thing. Like, where was he hiding it at the dinner table where no one could see it?
I don't know, man. Bajorans are sneaky. Sneaky motherfuckers.
Do you think that story he told Kira about the Ilvian Pleasure Center and that woman he fell in love with was true, or do you think that was made up?
That's nonsense. He's from the Mirror Universe. He's a liar.
I got the impression that maybe it was true. Or probably it was true. I think most of it was true, right? Mm-hmm. You do your scheming and thieving. You stick as close to the truth as
possible.
Speaking
of scheming and thieving... First of all, Kira like went along with his capture at first, and they fucking climbed a ladder 57 fucking floors.
Yeah, that was
that was a little
tired.
Ridiculous.
By the way, I love his reaction here.
How many levels before we reach the landing pad?
57.
Aww. I know, he's like already worn out. He's like,
ah, shit. The other good part was when he before he zapped Nintendo, he goes. So he goes. First he goes.
Aww.
And then he goes. I know. But anyways,
and then he zapped Super Nintendo Kira.
Super. That's a Simpsons reference.
It is
a veiled system. A veiled
it's
Simpsons
not that
reference.
Veiled. I think
Super Nintendo.
Most people.
Chalmers.
Most people of a certain vintage will understand the Super Nintendo Chalmers joke.
Yeah,
we probably told that joke on this very podcast in the past.
There was that shit on the internet where it was like a picture of a Super Nintendo with Super Nintendo Chalmers on it, and like I had that shit like on a computer at work, and there was this guy that was like a super young guy, and he was like, wait, what is that? And I was like, that's Super Nintendo. And then he understood the joke because he had seen The Simpsons, but he had never seen the Super Nintendo. It was
kind of
funny.
And he probably never saw those early season Simpsons.
He was like, Super Nintendo Chalmers, now I get it.
I was talking to some young folk, and like they were like, they were making. I was at some job I had, and
why are you all hanging out with all these young people?
No, it was. I was.
What life is.
I was waiting tables at some place like 10 years ago, and like some of the people were like early 20s, and I obviously was like not early 20s, and so I'm talking with some other guy who's not.
Dan's being very coy with his.
I was
age.
Talking to another guy who was not early 20s, and we were like reminiscing about The Simpsons.
Dan doesn't want to scare off any of the demographics.
And then, like one of the girls who was in her early 20s, she was like, "You guys like The Simpsons?" And I was like. And it was just kind of like, yeah, I guess if you're only aware of like the later season Simpsons, you might be like, why the fuck would you watch The Simpsons? But it was seasons.
It used to be
seasons
gold.
3 through 8. Man, those are like the best seasons. Those are amazing.
Indeed.
Even 1 and 2 are good, but like 3 through 8, that's the prime shit.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. But what I was saying about...
I'm very hopeful you can get us back on topic here, because I have no recollection of what we were talking
about. Oh, we were talking about him capturing her and then climbing up 57 flights. Yeah. By the way, he was winded as fuck. She seemed just fine after 57 flights.
Yeah, she was like, I needed the exercise.
Well, but Kira's fit.
I'm going to skip breakfast because
Not in the British sense. She's fit in the American sense. I mean, she is fit in the British sense.
Hey, watch it.
But also fit in the American sense.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You are so obsessed with appearances.
She's fit in the Bajoran sense.
But then she was like, you're not gonna shoot me. He's like, yes, I will. And she's like, no, you got a crack in your power cell. You know,
that old gimmick.
It's like,
I know that your weapon doesn't.
Hello?
Where did he get that weapon?
It's like, I call the doctor. Go, hello. I got a big crack in my power cell.
Well,
remember that joke that Beavis and Butthead did when they were like, I got a big crack.
There's a crack in there?
In my power cell.
Oh, I see. You're simulating a scenario in which there was a Beavis and Butthead episode talking about power cells in a disruptor pistol.
Yeah, instead of like a crack in your power cell. There's a crack in my power cell.
In the power cell.
You know that Beavis and Butthead joke where they're like, there's a crack in my power cell?
So part of what might be confusing both the audience
and
Jesse and I is that, first of all, Dan just keeps saying this crack in your power cell joke. What you can't see at home is Dan is making a fist and holding it up next to his cheek and sort of wiggling it around a little bit.
And what does that mean?
He's miming something that doesn't make any sense. We don't know what he's miming.
You know, when you call the doctor, you're like, hello?
There's
I got a crack in my power cell.
Who calls the doctor, dude?
You don't know the joke I'm referring to?
I do not know the joke you're referring to.
I don't get it.
It's when they go, hello, doctor, I got a crack in my butt.
Oh, oh well, yes.
Okay. That one went on for a while.
It did. So I got that part of the
instead
joke.
Instead of saying butt, it's like a crack in my power cell.
Yes, I miss those guys.
But you do understand that so when you say a crack in the butt, there's a humorous structure there. There's a joke.
Well, this was
when you say power cell, the joke disappears. No, but there's no joke.
It's
anymore.
Like when you said Super Nintendo Kira or whatever.
That was a very clever joke.
No, this is a callback to another joke. It's the same joke that you did.
No.
Because Patrick, didn't you say Super Nintendo Kira or something?
I did, and it was hilarious.
Because it was a reference to The Simpsons saying Super Nintendo Charmers.
It was brilliant.
And when I said crack in your power cell, that's a reference to crack in your butt. You see what I'm saying? It's the same joke.
No.
I made the same joke you did.
Not the same joke.
How is that any different?
You're a madman.
Yours was bad. It did.
Well, you got to get a little more descriptive than that, man.
Well, why don't you write in at feedback@discussstartrek.com? And Dan, you can write in yourself. You can write us at feedback@discussstartrek.com.
Explain what the fuck is going on.
Why should I?
Anyway, so okay. Well, she got a crack. He got a crack in the power cell. She saw it. And did you notice immediately the rest of the crew was already followed him up and surrounded? Like the crew wasn't supposed to follow Baral and Kira up that ladder, but they did anyways. Now, did that imply? That implies
they didn't follow.
They did because Kira said, "Wait, Jesus fuck!" I'm saying they went up. They went up, so she and they went up the ladder, and they followed him up, except they got there first because they weren't taking a ladder. But the point is they went after him, is what I'm saying.
It was the master plan.
And what I'm saying is, like, that implies that they knew about the cracked power cell, too, because, why else would they follow them up like that?
Yeah.
I think they just knew where he was trying to steal a ship. And
but he told
Sisko was all like, code this, that, and the other, everybody knew what to do.
No, like, he told them, he's like, if you follow me, I'm going to fuck her up, you know? But they followed him anyway, so that must mean, unless they were being completely reckless, they must have also known that this power cell was cracked.
You also can't just let a guy steal a runabout. Those things are expensive.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Look, I'm just saying.
It's not like some shitty shuttlecraft. It's
when
a fucking
someone
runabout.
With a gun says, "Don't follow me, or I'll shoot this person." You don't follow that person unless you know that gun is broken. or the person can't fire it, or something like that.
I don't.
So they must have known. So the rest. So how? Why else would they follow
her? I'm with Jesse that this was just standard protocol. Of she's like, I'll lead him to the ship, and you guys hide and wait in the ship. That's what they did. They could have beamed over there. She took a long way around to give them plenty of time to get an alternate way to go set up a trap.
I think they knew that it was cracked because
they wore his ass.
Because
out.
Else they otherwise they'd be worried that she'd die.
And by the way, it's perfectly plausible that they knew that it was cracked. They got this. They're on a space station. They got like scanners and shit. They could probably say like, scan his weapon. Okay, it's all fucked up. No problem.
When Sisko
totally
was
that.
Giving his like, this goes back to what I was talking about. How insecure their passwords are because they just speak their passwords. They can only use them once because like, once Sisko gives his Alpha Green Beta like password or whatever, Sisko Alpha Green Alpha Sisko Alpha or whatever. What was he saying? He was saying some kind of Sisko Alpha.
Well, you tell us. You're the keeper of the sounds.
He says authorization Sisko 71 Green. So like now he can't use that password anymore.
Well,
do you think it was like a quarterback giving a play where it's just he's giving his crew a play that they need to follow? Is that what you were saying, Jesse?
It was like he was speaking in code, so you know.
He was like saying like, okay, you're going to go up, meet Kira and them at the top. That was a playbook.
Because all of a sudden everybody popped out.
So in one of their pads contains all their plays, right? One of their pads they have. Wait, here we go.
You are crazy.
You're just full of surprises, aren't you?
You'd better brace yourself. You're in for a rough ride.
Don't be so nosy.
You're nosy, get it?
That's my nose.
It's your nose.
One of those pads.
So one of their pads? One of their pads. Oh my God.
Chief O'Brien?
So one of their pads must contain all their codes for their plays that they have out of their bridge playbook where that they do it because that was
Starfleet, baby.
So that was play 71 green, Sisko 71 green.
Yeah, just like
oh my God, really, Jesse?
Yes,
like, right in the microphone.
That was part of my game.
It's like in John Madden 93 on the Sega Genesis.
So
it's a play.
Or like football, like I initially said. That's exactly what I said, except I said football.
Like Odo pops up at the end.
Only like John Madden 93 Sega Genesis.
Back to what you were saying, Patrick, about voice match. I'm sure there's voice match, but then why have a
voice match?
Then why have a password at all?
Captain Sisko, voice match.
Why would they have a password at all if it's
a... You still gotta have a password.
No, you don't, because there's no point to have a password if you speak and then everyone knows it.
Well, I agree. I think you need to have a password, but I agree that it has to then change.
And they
it has to change.
That's ridiculous.
Try that hard because, like, after you climb all that way, like, you're all worn out.
That's the gimmick.
Like, and it, like, takes a bunch of time.
This is
you had to do was just kind of walk up.
Wait a sec. I was just talking about passwords. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, like, what happened.
This whole... He's talking about the trap, which is the passwords is part of the trap business.
Right. I mean, the password was, like, everybody knew, like, some kind of formation to go into.
Yeah. This was the code for, we're dealing with a dumbass fool.
Right.
Exactly. And it's going to be super easy to trick his ass. Which is by the way, his weapon's
like,
broken.
So, Patrick, like,
here's what we're going to do.
We're going to stall this guy and catch him.
Patrick, you've now both said that it is a password and a play. You've said it's both. That's what you've said. Which one are you committing to?
Both.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm going to fight you.
Okay.
It's not true.
No, it is true indeed. We do have to go to break in a second. Any thoughts before we head into break? Any quick thoughts? Because the next thing we're going to discuss when we have more time, which will be right when we get back from the break, is the whole morality, sort of ethics, social weirdness about fornicating with your dead ex-lover's counterpart. Hearing no offers of suggestions of things you want to discuss in the final 30
seconds.
Well,
I can lead up to it by saying like that scene where they were like having the racked Gino together, that shit dragged on.
It was one of the boring
scenes, I think.
That might be the scene where at a certain point I just stopped taking notes.
Yeah. Why were they having racked Gino? They should have had some booze.
Well, and
who
were,
was having racked
Gino? Were they having racked Gino?
Late
like,
night racked Gino.
Yeah, late night racked Gino, because doesn't racked Gino have like a shitload of coffee?
That's what I thought.
It's Klingon coffee.
Yeah, right? You would presume that, but you never know. Sometimes that's just
maybe they don't need that much caffeine.
Maybe they don't.
Maybe extra sweet. Macabre bread, no crust.
Because they're drinking prune juice.
Prune juice and
it's a warrior's drink.
Probably prune juice mixed with Ractigino might be fun. I could I could see that maybe being a good thing.
Sounds squirt, disgusting.
Squirt.
All right. Well, we'll have that debate offline. And when we get back, we'll talk about some gross sex. Be right back.
Fuck you.
I couldn't leave without saying hello to myself.
Hello.
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 And we're back.
Right on schedule. What are you doing here?
Indubitably.
Indubitably.
Indeed.
Ractigino, Ilvian Pleasure Center, woman fell in love with that died. Wasn't it true?
No.
Scene drags on. Why? How come alvas don't grow on Bajor? Is it all fucked up there? Did they strip mine?
In the mirror universe?
Did they strip mine it for crap and ruin everything?
They did that to the regular Bajor in normal universe.
Kira was being all squiggly with Burrell in a way we don't usually get to see her. She's all bipsy, dipsy, and doopsy, snoopsy.
Squiggly.
Are you just reading through your notes?
Yeah.
Did you ever provide us with your list of items? Oh,
no, I haven't provided my
items. The list of items, and then we'll talk about the naughty, naughty sex.
The naughty, naughty. Okay. The episode structure is cliched. So the first number one is an 8-point list. The eighth is more of like a suggestion than a
and these
observation.
Points are examples of how the episode is cliched or boring or what
yeah,
it
basically.
Okay.
So the mirror boyfriend comes to town. Kira's like, he won't trick me into liking them, and then he totally does. Mm-hmm. Like that saw that one coming. Oh, and here, this is not plot point, but Burrell gives that line. He's like, I suppose it must be nice to have that kind of faith. I've always preferred to believe in nothing. That way, I'm never disappointed. Like, that's a tired line that I've heard in other places.
He's
like,
so cool, though.
It's like something, it's like, oh, I never believe in nothing. That's why
he's
I'm never
like
disappointed.
He's like the coolest Bajoran. The coolest.
You know, the whole thing, you know, where you talk about how,
they're
like,
all so serious.
In the third break, Jesse's going to be the problem. Dan's got his Dan took that the brief break we took. Dan took that time to meditate briefly and get his shit together. Meanwhile, Jesse was crinkling shit and knocking back some whiskey or some shit. I don't know, some sort of podcast juice. All right,
now you know the story of my life.
Indeed. So
anyway,
the list of things. So what we have is Burrell says some stupid shit.
He's like, Burrell says some stupid shit where he's like, I don't believe anything, that way I'm never disappointed. It's like,
oh, that doesn't sound like much of a life.
Yeah, it's just like, everyone says that from now on time. The other one is like the Kira being like, he's not going to trick me into liking him, then he does. Number three, I thought it was kind of like, predictable how he's told this unbelievable story that pissed off Worf, but it turns out he really did steal the Mechleth. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a
totally.
Subterfuge,
know,
like, you know,
right.
And then
maybe the mirror Klingons are all lame.
He's a charming rascal.
Yeah.
A typical, an archetypical, you might say, charming rascal. Except he's still kind of boring.
Number four. Right when we think he's actually good, some shit shows up that he isn't totally good.
The
or
intended.
Might even be bad.
I know.
The intended.
She emerges from a closet. She's always walking out of some closet. You know, it's crazy.
Super Nintendo.
There was the ridiculous fucking scene. What's the most ridiculous scene you think in this episode? I'm sure there's several you can pick from, but there's one in particular, which I think is the most ridiculous scene in the episode.
When the intendant shows up.
Oh, you mean that just that whole scene where she first shows up?
Yeah. I think you're referring to when the intendant disguises herself as Kira and then is trying to get past the guard and starts asking him to massage her.
Would you mind
totally.
Massaging my shoulders for
That's
me?
That's true.
I feel hardened, please.
Somatic oil.
Such strong hands. If only I would see some somatic oil.
That was silly, but it reminded me of an earlier part of the episode that we didn't mention, which was how Burrell got to the station in the first place, and they showed that he had the same little transporter device that was relevant to a previous episode. And the thing is like, they didn't interrogate him further about why he had this exceptionally unique trans-dimensional
portal
device.
Multi-dimensional portal, yeah.
The guy looks like a hobo. He's some sort of a rascally scheming hobo and with a broken weapon and all that. He's like, he just had this device. No big deal.
Right.
And the Kira scene is similarly implausible.
I'm not gonna press charges.
And he actually, he asked Kira, he was like, just destroy it for me so they can't send me back. Was he just like being like hyperbolic or is he just making a point? Because like he could have destroyed it. I guess he was just making a point. I guess he was just being hype. I'm just trying to be like, trying to tell her how miserable he is by saying, just destroy it for me. I can't take it. You know, like, because he could have destroyed it himself. So he must have, like, been making some weird point that I didn't understand.
Well, he got captured before he could destroy it. Maybe.
Now, was that thing, was that the same thing? Remember when Kira, or was it Mira Kira?
Mira Kira.
I think it was Kira. She was holding that knob with the red shiny thing where she was, like, saying that the transporter was keyed to the control, which is the knobby red light thing in her hand, and then she says, so the transporter is keyed to the control, but then if she taps a key on the control, it will activate the transporter that's keyed to the control with the key to activate the transporter that's keyed to the control with the key to activate the transporter that's keyed to the control. You see where I'm going with this?
I mean, you had me at first, and you started to lose me when you started just saying things over and over again.
So on the control,
are you suggesting there's a recursive?
Yeah, because she said she says the transporter is keyed to the control that she's holding.
Key. Okay.
But then if she taps the key on the control, it will activate the transporter. The and that transporter is keyed to
it's
that control.
Keyed to the control.
And the control with which when she keys, if she taps a key if on that control,
the key on the control,
it will activate the transporter.
Oh no!
That very same transporter that is keyed to the control.
Oh shit!
That has the key to activate the transporter that's keyed to it.
Jeez, oh flip!
You see what I'm saying?
No,
you didn't follow. You don't get like how the controller. Did you get this? That the transporter. Do you get this? That the transporter.
Hey, don't worry, audience. The next loop through, I'll say I understand.
I'll just say them separately. Do you understand the concept?
I'll just say yes.
It
will end and we'll continue.
Just listen to. I'll make it short. Okay,
we could have been in this loop for years.
Does this make sense to you? The transporter is keyed to the control. Does that sentence make sense?
Yes. Yes, I understand the
because
concept.
It allows them to control the transport.
Some sort of control, yes.
It allows
and
them
it's
to
keyed to it as in connected to it.
Right. And on the control, there is a key. You see where I'm going?
I believe you.
In a sense, yes.
And that key will activate the transporter.
Some sort of analog, yes.
Sure.
So on the controller, there's a key that activates the transporter. And that transporter is keyed to the control. They're using the word key twice to mean two different sort of concepts. See, the transporter is keyed to the control. It's connected.
Okay. Dan, you're looking at me. You're not breaking eye contact. You don't appear to be blinking. You keep saying the same thing over and over again.
I think when this happens and I try to explain to you guys, you listen less and less. Like
I'm listening more and more.
There may be a lesson in that, Dan.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think it's a very simple concept to understand if you hear what I'm saying. You hear what
I hear what you're saying.
I definitely hear what
I
you're
hear
saying.
I hear how it's key to the control.
Right, yeah. You got it. And then what's the second part? On the control.
There's a key,
yes. See, Jesse's
there's
got
a key
it. And
on
what
the
is
control.
That? And what does that key do? What does the key pressing that key do?
It controls it.
Controls what?
I forget.
The transporter.
The transporter.
That's key to the control, right? You see what I'm saying? See where I'm going with this?
Totally.
It was very enlightening.
Indeed.
So that was that. But I was gonna back at the ranch. I thought that scene was really silly. It was
the massage.
Like,
thing.
That was
the
silly.
Massage thing because he totally falls for it. He's like some like soldier, and he's suddenly like Major Kira is coming up to him, being like, "Ooh, wootsie tootsie, I got a bootsie whoopsie."
He's a Bajoran.
The
dude,
only right? way to justify that
it's like
is,
he didn't think anything was off there.
The only way to justify that is if in the Star Trek universe, it is a universal truth that all men are just silly buggers.
Yeah.
They're right. Silly bastards, and they're like, oh, the girl might touch my shoulders.
She's got, she got, she goes, I got a real hoodie shoulder. Can you give me a massage, please?
Give me some oil.
The male ego is primed and ready to be tricked into all manner of things.
And then she says, oh, your hands.
If it is appropriately fluffed and
it's like
soothed.
Easily fooled.
It is easily fooled, easily manipulated.
Yeah, but I at the end, I think he was getting, I think he was getting a little weirded out by it, though, because he goes, when she goes a little harder, please. She goes like this.
Say what now?
A little harder, please. Oh, such strong hands. If only we had some warm Sumato oil.
And then she goes, and then he's like,
I guess.
He gets a little weirded out. She's like, that would be nice. Yeah. She, that's when she goes.
Or he could just be a dry guy.
She goes,
that would be nice, wouldn't it?
I
Guess.
At the end, you can tell he's getting a little weirded out, but by that time, she fucks him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so number six. By the end...
Oh, yeah, I forgot we were in a list.
Yeah,
it's tight. And this is an eight-piece list. Eight items on this list, and we're on item number six. That means there's three items left.
Fuck. Right. Gosh, I can't. I kind of wrote that weird. So I already said four, which was right when we think he's actually good. Oh, turns out some shit shows up where Burrell's actually bad.
Yeah.
But by the end, though,
we're skipping over it now. Five we already did. Which was the ridiculous.
So I'm
scene.
Just saying that this is a follow up to four. Four is we think he's good, but then it
six is a follow up to four.
Yes.
Okay.
Right when we think he's good, some shit shows up to show us he isn't. And the number six says by the end, though. Like, he's kind of good. He turns back around and, like, goes back and it's like,
because he has a heart of gold.
Yeah, it's kind of like Darth Vader or some shit, right? You know?
Heart of Gold would be a reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, in which there's a spaceship.
Wasn't that Neil Young, that Neil Young song? It's a heart of gold.
Right, there is a Neil Young song.
It's a heart of gold.
It's also an old phrase. Like just that. A phrase.
But
referencing somebody who has a heart of gold. They're a kind person.
Yeah, but he's still kind of a bad guy, but he's kind of good, and he's not going to...
He's a charming
and
rascal.
He's, and he's not going to... He's kind... But we know he won't hurt Kira, Prime Kira. He won't hurt her. Number seven, this isn't really like a cliche. It just kind of sucks. It ends really anticlimactically. He goes away, and then it ends. And we haven't really learned anything, or nothing really gets accomplished.
Well, and the other cliched thing about it is he's all like, I gotta deal with my old lady.
Yeah,
girl, right. She's gonna be so pissed off at me. But don't worry, I'll smooth it over. I'll smooth things over with the old lady, with the old ball and chain.
Right.
It was that kind of vibe to it, right?
Yeah.
And he was just making out with Kira and shit.
Right. Exactly.
And he's gonna go back. He's like, oh, don't worry about me.
Number eight is more suggestion, because remember earlier I was talking about how, like, I kept thinking about how Odo is dealing with all this. We don't get to see this. What they should have done is they should have made this episode a season long arc where we see Odo tormented and despaired over the fact.
Yeah, I know.
He's despaired over the fact that Kira did it with another guy.
I love it. Like, this
from the mirror universe,
fifth grade slang.
And this torment continues after Burrell leaves. He's like, these several episodes of him just being really upset and stressed out. And then right after several bunch of episodes, he starts to feel better. And then right when we think Burrell is gone for good, and Odo and Kira start to get close to each other, and they're about to do it, Burrell comes back. He comes back.
There's another one.
And he comes back and they're like, shit. And then Kira has to make a tough decision. She almost goes with Burrell. She almost does. And Odo becomes suicidal.
Oh, no.
But then she decides to be...
Real quick question.
No,
What does... And understanding the sensitivity of this topic, we do not want to make light of suicide.
No.
But, that caveat aside, how do you think that suicidal ideation manifests within Odo? And what I mean to say is does he consider drinking poison, blowing his brains out with a phaser?
Suicide.
Does he replicate?
Cue suicide.
Those people are hard to kill, aren't they?
Suicide.
Well, that's the thing, depending
suicide.
On when he's in his gelatinous form versus solid form.
Suicide.
You gotta steal his little...
Suicide.
Did you...
Suicide.
You were trying to commit suicide.
Suicide.
You were trying to commit suicide.
Suicide.
You were trying to commit suicide.
Suicide.
Any thoughts on that?
How Odo would
jump out an airlock?
No, he would neglect to go into his bucket. Or by this time, he doesn't need the bucket, does he?
Yeah, I figured out he doesn't need the
bucket. Figured that out. He would see all shapeshifters in those shapeshifter types.
Yeah, the founders,
they can make their body split up into its constituent molecules and fly in every direction on command. Like how a shinobi can make themselves blow up.
Is that your headcanon?
The shinobis can make themselves blow up. It was your special move in that game, Shinobi.
Hell yeah.
So they can take their molecules.
Did you ever play Fist of the North Star? On Game Boy?
No, but I was aware of its existence.
I had Fist of the North Star.
Was it good?
It was all right.
So the way they commit suicide is they blast
suicide.
Off.
Suicide.
The way they commit suicide is they...
Suicide.
Oh my God. Jesse.
You're still talking
I know about... I said it wasn't going to bother me, but it's bothering
you're
me.
You're still talking about shinobis or Odo?
No, you're asking me a question and I'm answering.
You're saying Odo will do it like a shinobi.
Odo will take the shape changers, they change, they take their molecules and they make them explode in all dimensions all over the universe. That's how they. What do you guys think?
Fuck. I can't argue with that.
I think you just replicate a, like an old pistol and blow his brains out.
No, but I'm saying Patrick. Oh, that's what you think. He would just blow his. You can't kill a shape changer with a pistol.
First of all,
did you ever see Terminator 2?
First of all, I like you just call them shape changers now.
Shape changer.
Some shape shifters.
I'm not going to call him a changeling. That's offensive.
Is it offensive?
That's what they're called.
But anyway, you could call him a shape shifter. I think shape shifter is probably fairly descriptive and not offensive.
Well, look, you can't.
Although I don't know.
You saw Terminator. Too, you can't kill a Terminator with a.
I never really.
You can't kill a Terminator.
Is it called the joining?
You can't.
Link.
Oh my god, this is impossible to have. Stick on one topic.
The GUI continuum.
We're having one topic discussion, and it's not happening. You asked me a question of how I think he would do it. I answered. I'm asking you guys how you would think he would do it, and I'm just trying to. And Patrick, you said. Jesse, you didn't give an answer. Patrick, you said he'd blow his brains out with a pistol. I say that wouldn't work for a shape changer. And then by this topic, we're all saying different shit now.
Well, you know, what I'm suggesting, perhaps what I'm suggesting, maybe not, but perhaps what I'm suggesting is that it would actually be more depressing for him to try to sort of, in a Sisyphean sense, try to blow his brains out.
Okay.
And it being relatively unsuccessful.
Okay. I'm still in the middle of giving this season long arc. Okay.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. So you snuck this in there. You advertised this as a list, and it included as a subset of the list.
No, it's more of a suggestion to make it
season long.
No, I'm saying no. This is a suggestion to make it better.
I'm digging it. Yeah,
and because it's a little cliche. So like I said, should have been a season long arc where Odo is all sad that they get together. He leaves for several episodes. There's several episodes of Odo just being all sad and like really depressed and all that shit. Mm. And then right when they think Baral's gone for good, and Kira and Odo, they're about to do it one day, but then Baral comes back. And then Kira has to make the tough decision. She almost goes with Baral, and then Odo. That's when Odo becomes suicidal. But then she decides to be with Odo, and he's elated. But then we find out that Kira was the intendant the whole time.
No. That's exciting.
So, like, Odo's sort of hold on the security, like, kind of goes downhill and, like,
He's manipulated by the intendant.
It goes by the wayside, and he like he's just a bad security.
Yeah,
chief.
And he doesn't like keep his form together as well. He's all drippy all the time because he's like all sloppy.
Oh,
you know?
Shit!
What a horrifying image. You'd think he'd be so happy.
Well, no. Well, when he's upset, he's all drippy.
He becomes upset upon realizing that Kira was actually the intendant.
Well, Jesse said that his duties would fall apart because he was upset. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
We're talking. I guess
I'm sorry. I thought it meant because he was so distracted by being in love.
Interesting.
Kira, or not being in love, but getting to date Kira finally.
Okay. That's another direction you could go. That's equally viable.
But I also buy it that if he then discovers that what he thought was Kira was in fact the intendant. And
well, no, he would.
So
well,
that would be fucked up.
No, I was thinking when
it's
Jesse
like a Revenge of the Nerds.
When Jesse
thing.
Was saying his work would suffer because he was upset. I was thinking back when Baral, because
he's kind of not that great.
When Baral, I'm talking about at the beginning when Baral leaves and Odo's distraught because Baral and Kira did it. Mm-hmm. This is before he knows that she's the intendant. Thought that he was like, oh no, Kira and Baral did it, and she loves him, not me, and he's sad for like four episodes.
You don't even see that, really.
I just still get a kick out of it.
This is a season long arc hasn't been made yet. We could make him see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Just a reminder that we do label this podcast as explicit, so you can say things like fuck.
Explicit.
Or sex. Or they fornicated.
The C word.
You don't have to say they did it.
When they do it, Odo touches her bottom.
Are they going to screw?
Do they touch their bottoms? They touch their bottoms together.
Bottom.
They do bottom touching.
Bottom.
Are you done with the season long arc?
Front bottom.
Yeah, so don't you think that would be better than this one episode?
Yes, absolutely.
You're talking shit.
I'm saying
you don't mean
no,
it.
I totally agree.
You
I
don't
think
mean
it. Been a lot better. I don't always agree with your suggestions of a season long arc, but in this case I do. And
you're lying.
No, but it does segue nicely into the discussion about some of the ethics and morality on the parts of various stakeholders in this particular particular cross-dimensional fornication between Kira and Baral.
Betwixt.
And let me just lay it out first briefly, and then we can discuss the particulars. Because on the one hand,
did somebody just burp?
I don't think so.
Somebody just burped. I don't think so. I think you burped while you talked. You did a burp talk.
I don't think so.
You did a burp talk.
I think you hallucinated.
You did a Turk or a burp a bok a barok barok burp a burpok a burpok a burpok burpok burpok.
Well, we'll listen back to it and we'll find out. Write
no,
in
we won't.
Feedback at discussstartrek.com.
No one's going to write in.
Was it a Turk
job? I dare you to write in, motherfuckers. Write in. I dare you. Burp.
You got a haiku on you.
Haiku on your poo-poo.
We'll get to the haiku stuff later. Okay. So, here's...
What were you saying, Patrick?
Here's the two things.
What two things? You mean the tooth things? I got some tooth things in my mouth.
Oh, fuck.
On the one hand,
I got a hand in my hand and two things in my mouth.
We have Kira, who...
The intendant?
No, we have regular old Kira Nerys.
She's old, don't say that.
And she, with very little convincing required, decides to have a romantic entanglement, which includes a physical relationship with Mira Baryle, who is not her Baryle.
Not her Baryle,
but
indeed.
But is a different one. And so it'll be, you know, sort of interesting to consider some of the things related to that, what it means psychologically, what, again, is the sort of morality and ethics behind that. But on the flip side, we also have Mira Baryle, who has a romantic entanglement with physical dimensions.
Physical dimensions?
See, now I'm doing what Dan is. I'm using euphemisms. They fucked!
Is that, like... The fifth dimension is the physical dimensions.
He fucked Kira, but he fucked her under false pretenses. It's a Revenge of the Nerds type plot. Well, not really, but it's close to it. Where
so there's the first dimension, second dimension, third dimension, fourth dimension, and the fifth dimension is an extra physicals dimension. It's not the physical dimension. It's the physicals dimension. It's not length, width, height, and time.
What
it's
the
length,
fuck?
It's length, width, height, time, and then a metaphysicals. You're talking about their physicals dimension.
What I'm talking about is that...
What I'm talking about
I
it.
I think you could argue...
What I'm talking about it.
I'd certainly argue that Mira Baryle, he...
Mira Baryle.
He sleeps with Kira under false...
Sleeps with the fishes.
Under false pretenses, right? Now, I do believe that has some feelings for her.
He
appears in the process here to have developed some true feelings for her, but he was also sent there precisely for the reason that... It was assumed that he could get into Kira's good graces by virtue of the fact that he is similar to Baryle. So, to Kira's Baryle. So there is clearly some problematic aspects to his sleeping with her under false pretenses, which is not very cool.
It's
a common trope, again, a very common trope in sort of spy, con man, that sort of thing. But it's a little bit creepy. So I think that's a little bit more black and white, that is not very cool that he did that, even if he also kind of has feelings for her. I don't know. But on the Kira side...
Oh, yeah, it's like you were saying, is the nerds... so you're saying it's analogous to the nerds' sexual assault?
It's similar in some ways, because so in Revenge of the Nerds, which is in many ways a very interesting movie...
When I was young, I used to think that Revenge of the Nerds was a sequel to the movie Nerds.
But... I can understand that. Like Jaws the Revenge, right? So at the end, for those who don't know, Revenge of the Nerds is an interesting movie. I think it's worth watching. It is problematic on a few fronts, but the main issue with Revenge of the Nerds is in the climax.
It has Anthony Edwards, who was in Top Gun as Goose, and he was in ER.
Yes, that's irrelevant to the point I'm making, but it happens to be a fact. But in the conclusion of the movie, one of the nerds
had booger.
Puts on the same outfit as one of the female characters' boyfriends.
And wears a mask or something?
Yeah, it's a Darth Vader outfit, basically. And she thinks that she's about to have sex with her boyfriend in costume because he insists on keeping the mask on.
Yeah.
But it's actually one of the nerds.
And we're supposed to laugh at it.
One of the protagonists. And she ends up having a great time.
And we're supposed to be like, oh my gosh,
and
so funny.
And the way it's presented is that this is a hilarious, goofy, funny thing that this man raped a woman by having sex with her under false pretense. Now... what Mira Baryle does here is a slightly different class maybe, but it falls into the same, I don't know, it's in the same direction because there is that deception and knowing that he is using the fact that he looks like her dead lover as a means to manipulate her.
If he said he was the prime Baryle And like, cause now
that would be even worse.
That'd be even worse. Cause she knows he's not, but he's like presenting himself as if he is, but they both know. But if he was like, I'm Burrell, come back from the dead. That would be like a straight up nerd situation.
Sneaky, yeah.
Revenge of the Nerd situation.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Or if Burrell had never died and they kidnapped Burrell and took his place, just like the intendant was trying to do with Kira, you know, where they try to take her, kidnap her. And you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That would be a similar plot.
Yeah. Intendant Kira was jealous of Prime Kira.
Yeah, she always gets a little jealous.
She was like, she was asking him, she was like, what do you think of her? I want to know. And then he told
her.
Like,
she's great.
And then he told her, and then she went to smack him, and she was a liar. She didn't want to know. She got mad. Yeah.
She's jealous.
Did
we talk about Sisko warning Kira about, like the mirror versions? That was like a really good, that was like one of the best parts of this episode.
I do agree, yeah. It was interesting,
really good Sisko moment where he's like talking about like the mirror Jennifer, and he was just, you know, it's like,
I know what you're going through, Major.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Ah, well,
this is irrelevant. Let me get this straight, Major.
It's actually highly relevant. Yeah, because Sisko's referring to one of the previous Mirror Universe episodes.
Very confusing, to say the least.
Mirror Jennifer.
It was, indeed.
Sorry, I didn't mean to play that.
Mirror Jennifer comes over and recruits Sisko to help them solve a problem that they're dealing with. And and that's a very interesting story because Sisko has to wrestle with dealing with this person who is in so many ways similar to his dead wife.
Right.
But is
just
clearly,
like the first episode.
Clearly a different
person.
What
really sort of like, was the great, I thought was good imagery was when he was like, she smiles in a certain way.
Yes.
What the exact line was,
something about her eyeballs glowing.
But sometimes she would smile at me a certain way and then the light would hit her eyes and it was my Jennifer. And like, thinking about that, and I was imagining like, if I was in a situation like that with somebody I was, you know, romantical with, I can imagine that that'd be a total mind fuck. Like, that would be hard to deal with.
Exactly.
Like, and it's just because, like, if they have those same sort of physical mannerisms as the other person, it kind of, like, triggers those. It's Pavlovian or something.
Well, how about this? Like, let's go through a couple of quick scenarios, right? So the scenario here is that Kira...
The overnight scenario?
No. Kira is encountering and then ultimately sort of connecting with...
Old Dominion-ly?
Somebody who is very similar to her dead lover, but not exactly the same, different personality, and in fact, she's very understanding that he's different. So you might even say there's some justification to say this is a different person. It's almost akin to having a relationship with two different twins in a family. Maybe there's a little bit of skeeviness there, but not technically problematic. How about another scenario where it's not your dead lover, it's your alive lover? And it's not under subterfuge. Maybe the person, maybe you broke up with that person and you're just going to date this other person. That'd be a little weird.
And you know that you're having sex with not your
partner?
Yeah,
it's not a deceptive thing. It's like, you know, it's the mirror universe,
the mirror version
person. I mean, let's say you've broken up with your previous partner and
the
then...
The mirror version is like, probably has a knife on it.
Well, don't twins... That happens with twins, right? Like identical twins, not the movie twins. If you're an identical twin, I bet there's tons of identical twins that have dated the same girl or boy.
Oh yeah, sometimes that happens. or they date like other sets of twins.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they probably have weird.
And then they mix it all.
They probably
up.
Mix it up and have foursomes.
Yeah. If the porn on the internet is any indication, that happens all the time.
Their children are biologically like siblings.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. If two sets of twins marry each other, then they have siblings.
That means that their kids can't have sex with each other.
Probably not.
Yeah, unlike regular nieces.
Or they could, and then
cousins.
Like, they would give birth to the same person.
Cousin Lovin' Dan has put his marker down. Cousin Lovin' Dan. Yeah, that's right. That'll be your new nickname, Dan. Cousin Lovin' Dan.
I have not endorsed that.
What about another scenario? What about self-love? What about making love to your...
Like masturbating your
mirror counterpart.
A mirror masturbation?
But would it be masturbation or a hand job? Or
mirror masturbator.
It could be whatever.
Would it be a mirror masturbator? Mirror masturbation.
You could call it that.
Hey, Dan, I think I think it's a little TMI.
Mirror masturbator.
Cousin Lovin' Dan is a mirror masturbator.
My mirror masturbating...
Mirror.
Matt Mall...
Buh?
Mirror... Mall... mirror masquerading as a mirror masturbator. Masquerading as a mirror masturbator. A movie about a masquerading mirror masturbator.
All right.
A movie about a masquerading mirror masturbator.
I think Dan has helped us earn the explicit tag.
I don't. Are you asking me? Week. Are you trying to be like? Is it gay if you like masturbate your mirror self?
I didn't ask if it was gay.
No.
I asked if it was like if you'd be into it.
Yeah. Sure.
I think that's
why not?
Sort of. I think I'd probably be into it.
I think I would be more weirded out that I would be less. Okay.
I think I'd be into it. I think I'd get bored of it quick.
It would be.
It's a novelty.
Yes, I think it's a novelty.
The only weird thing, it would just be the fact that, like, wow, this is my mirror self. Like, that's the weirdest part, yeah. You know? Otherwise, it's like, yeah, totally, why not? Have a good time.
Yeah, just hang loose.
It's just, like, the idea of meeting your mirror self is meeting. Weird. That's the weird part, is meeting your mirror self, yeah. Not masturbating your mirror self.
You know, I always manage
to... No, that's
to,
the natural part.
I always manage to get that, squeeze that H in with W words, like whet or what. You managed to squeeze an H in with me. How'd you say that? Meeting. How'd you say that?
I don't even know.
You're like meeting. Meeting. Anyway, any final points about this episode? Last bits and pieces.
When did
Quark? So we can close this down.
When did Quark have an orb experience? Did we ever get to see that? Because Kira's like, Quark. You had an orb experience.
Yeah, Quark. Quark did have. I know he definitely went because he went back in time to Roswell related to something with an orb, wasn't that?
Shit.
But maybe that wasn't an orb experience. I forget exactly. That might have been it. But
maybe
yeah,
that was a chore. But...
Maybe I gotta remind myself. All right, next one.
Asked
and answered. Next one on the question list.
Okay, the next question is
bullet point Dan.
Okay, so this is a more
squeezing him out.
This is more statement. The orb is behind. We find out that the orb is behind a force field keyed to a decryption matrix. Mm. And then intended Kira was like, Burrell, you'll have no problem thieving through that shit. Yeah. You want to know why he had no problem thieving through the decryption matrix?
Because
that's what thieves do.
Shady motherfucker.
No, because it's a decryption matrix. They should have used an encryption matrix. That's
point.
Why.
Good point.
Oh, do you remember the line about...
Do you remember the line?
Do you remember the line? Dax goes, why didn't you just... Bashir goes, my medical requisitions. And Dax was like, this is when he was coming in to like...
Because he wanted to hear about sex.
Yeah, he wanted to sex talk.
Because Dr. Bashir is keenly interested in the sex lives of his close colleagues.
Yeah.
Of his professional work colleagues.
He's a wild boy.
He wants to know which one of them was... rammed out or did some ramming the night before.
Rammed out.
Yeah. Like we call him ram
style. I'm just trying to incorporate since Dan has been using fifth grade euphemisms for fucking. I thought try to pull
you'd better brace out. Yourself. You're in for a rough ride.
Rough riding.
Yeah.
Rough riding, cousin loving Dan.
Raw dogging.
What are you talking about?
Then Dax goes, why don't you just download the requisitions into the computer? Mm-hmm. Now, so it's on his pad. She wants him to download them from the pad into the ship's computer. Would that be an upload? But since there's no internet in Star Trek, wouldn't that just be a copy? Wouldn't it just be like, why don't you just copy them into the computer? It wouldn't be downloading.
I don't know.
If anything, it would be uploading, but I think more likely it would be copying them.
Perhaps the precise definitions
so
of these
crazy.
The precise definition of these terms has drifted somewhat by the 24th century.
According to Google's dictionary, which is from the Oxford Languages, download means to copy data from one computer system to another, typically over the internet. So, okay, then what's upload then? Wouldn't upload be the same thing as download by that definition?
I'm not sure, Dan.
Because upload, the definition is to transfer data from one computer to another, typically to one that is larger or remote from the user or functioning as a server.
Are you trying to fight me?
So by this definition, because the ship's computer is larger than the pad computer, typically there would be an upload. But according to this definition, the first part says upload, the first words are transfer from one computer to another, and then the download, the first words are copy from one computer system to another. So both of them begin with copy from one computer system to another, and then the second part is typically in this way. So technically it could either be download or upload, but since it's a larger computer, I think it more fits the definition of upload, but since there's no internet, I'm going to go with copy.
All right, so that's been our discussion of
or maybe sideload. Sideloading is a thing too. You can sideload
next
like
week
when you have an Android phone, you can sideload, and you can sideload other things too. But that's just one example.
Great. it. So next week.
Great. That means he doesn't think it's great. That means he's not happy with it.
We don't know exactly what we're going to be discussing because we forgot to run the algorithm. It's probably going to be.
Your pod is strong.
Oh, I totally forgot to run the algorithm.
It's probably going to be an Enterprise episode.
Why didn't you guys remind me?
I reminded you, but far too late.
When did you remind me?
Shouldn't we do like a TNG?
About an hour before we started recording today.
Oh, so when I was like already here.
Well, you were probably on the way.
Yeah, sorry. I can't believe I forgot that. It's okay. To everyone out there, we used to do it like for the
super regular style.
I used to run the algorithm like the Sunday after our recording.
Yeah.
But now that we're trying to do it like for the week before so we can announce the episode in our thing, I've had trouble remembering to do it. Yeah. But I did it last week, which means I'm getting better.
We're getting better. Look to our website, look to our social media. We'll know what the episode is by the time we've posted this. So look in our show notes. We'll tell you what we're going to discuss next week. Again, probably an episode of Enterprise. Hopefully Dan's algorithm gives us a good one.
This
week it gave us a boring episode.
Jesse pointed out that we already did Enterprise recently.
But it's just kind of like we like to balance them out. We've done 25 episodes.
It has to do with the count of.
Yeah.
But aren't we due for like a TOS or something?
Nah, not quite. That'll be after Enterprise.
We've probably done.
How is it that we didn't balance Enterprise properly?
I think we got excited and we just did
the fewest Enterprise.
It was a couple. We did a couple of TNGs in close proximity. But anyway,
what's wrong with that?
Anyway, this is an OCD thing. The audience cares less
CD's
about
nuts.
This. We like to distribute basically evenly between all the shows. But anyway, don't worry about it.
No. Is that really necessary?
All you need to know is we'll be back again next week with a cool discussion about something or other.
You made a mistake. You let Baral make a fool of you.
That was Resurrection from Deep Space Nine. Very, very boring. Episode of Star Trek.
I think it's time you call
hopefully
me
this
niece.
Podcast episode was not too boring and
no, it was lively.
Entertainment.
A Vedic is a religious leader. There, you've learned something.
I knew that already.
But not everybody knew that.
Most people knew that.
No, you can't say that. You can't say that.
I can't say most people.
You can't say
all
that.
All those Vedics are kind of pieces of shit.
Some of them are. They're all. A lot of them are boring. So you can reach us at feedback@discussstartrek.com. The website is www.discussstartrek.com.
Greedy little minds.
You can send us a voicemail.
Whatever it takes to make
voicemail
money.
At Star Trek. It's got StarTrek.com/record. Patreon. Patreon.com/discussstartrek. So you can hear it more clearly. Patreon.com/IskaStarTrek. Social media at IskaStarTrek. YouTube, etc. Blah, blah, blah.
Man, dude.
All right, that's it. Bye bye.
Sleep well.
How many levels before we reach the landing pad?
57.
Aww.